I was among the victims of the rebellion at the age of 8 to 14. In the front line, we fight with the enemy. At the orders I was, I got no choice but to fight in the endless war. Death was ever in my fingertips as I see my friend. And the
a former gangster turned Catholic evangelizer, John Pridmore has just returned from Liberia, where he spoke to hundreds of former child soldiers in that country's brutal civil war. Pridmore told the children about his former life of crime in London's East End and said that violence and revenge was then a part of his daily routine. But after nearly beating a man to death, Pridmore found God, joined a Franciscan order, and now devotes his life to fighting gang culture. He has written a best-selling book about his life story and dramatic conversion. In Liberia, an estimated 20,000 children, some as young as 7 or 8, were recruited by both rebel and government forces during more than a decade of civil war in the West African nation. Pridmore went to Liberia on behalf of the Catholic charity Mary's Meals, which feeds hundreds of thousands of children worldwide every day. Many of these children would otherwise be too poor and hungry to attend school, and therefore would miss out on obtaining an education. On his return from Liberia, Pridmore spoke about his impressions of the country and told me some of the appalling brutalities and killings witnessed by these former child soldiers.
I feel that the new president is very much loved by the people. And she's very much trying to bring about a great renewal in Liberia. I did feel that there's still immense poverty there and immense suffering. The people are incredibly resilient, the people I met. I work for a charity called Mary's Meals, after our Blessed Mother, is named after Our Lady. And they feed, I think, 60,000 young people in Liberia each day, and they feed them at school. So I had the privilege of going to some of those schools and visiting and seeing the education that's given at the schools, which was very impressive.
As you well know, tens of thousands of children were forced or persuaded to fight during Liberia's civil war, a particularly brutal civil war. And I know you met many former child soldiers during your trip. What was the overriding impression you gained from your encounter with these former child soldiers?
I think that there's a lot of traumatisation with them. I think they find it very hard to forgive themselves. When I spoke to them personally about their own, you know, struggles, their own conflicts, a lot of them really did seem to look at the floor. They looked very traumatised. They didn't particularly want to speak about what they had witnessed or what they had seen. There's some great people there who are doing great work with ex-children soldiers. One of them, Father Gary from the SMA Fathers, he's got about 90 who actually live and stay on his compound, and he would slowly be trying to bring them into counselling, some sort of understanding that they can be forgiven, that they, you know, that they're not culpable, they were forced to do a lot of the things that they witnessed. But, you know, one boy who did open up to me, he said to me that he was 8 years old when he was first taken, and he was a personal bodyguard for Taylor, who was the commander. And one of his best friends, who I think was his cousin, who was also 8 years old, he had malaria and he was unable to really move, let alone do any work. And Taylor asked for him to get hot water for his bath, and he was informed that the boy was too ill to get the water. So he had him tied to a tree and he shot him in front of his cousin, the boy who was 8. Also, when they were crossing a river, one of the canoes that was carrying one of Taylor's officers capsized, and Taylor believed that a local village had put juju on this. Juju is like another form of voodoo. And so he had the whole village massacred. And it was just, you know, power gone mad, really. And from what they were saying, the atrocities were just horrendous. The mass genocide that was witnessed by a lot of these boys was incredible. Real evil.
When you talk to these kids, what message were you trying to portray? Because, of course, you had previously led a violent life as a gangster in London. Did you find that in some way, because of this, you could relate to these kids, that your story could at least relate to them? There were some parallels there?
Yes, I think the main reason I was trying to share my story and was invited to do so was because I have learned that God can forgive me for my past, that he still loves me, that he's still got a plan for my life. And I think the reason why I wanted to share my story was really to bring this same grace to them, that they can be forgiven, that there's a God there who loves them and cherishes them and has a plan for their life. And no matter what we've been, what we've done out of, in my case, choice, or in their case, being forced to do, God's mercy and his understanding is always there for us. And so that was really the message I was trying to bring. And it had an amazing effect. A lot of the young men were saying to me how much my story had touched them and helped them to understand that God was still there, he still loved them and had a plan for them.
Presumably, though, in your case, I mean, as you yourself said, it was a very difficult process to pick up the pieces of your shattered life when you realised that you no longer wanted to carry on as you were, living that life as a gangster. And did you sort of tell them not to give up at the first difficulty, but to keep persevering, even though it sometimes must seem very hard?
Yeah, very much. And I spoke to them about confession being a big instrument in healing. I know it was a massive instrument for me. And I was really encouraging them to really open up to that sacrament in confession and really rid themselves of everything where they felt culpable or they felt that they were to blame, so that God could bring healing. Also, forgiveness. I felt a big part of their story was learning to forgive those who had either done atrocities to them or done atrocities to those who they love and forced them to cause atrocities themselves. So I was really trying to help them understand that in confession we can also confess a lack of forgiveness to those who have hurt us.
I cry, I feel bad, I feel sad, I feel that with the hand of the world.
You talked earlier about some of those appalling acts of brutality carried out by Taylor, the rebel leader. But were there some other poignant, inspirational, tragic or appalling stories that these former child soldiers had, either that you heard directly or from other people there?
Well, one story which I thought was an inspiration was Father Gary, who, as I say, is from the SMA Fathers. He wouldn't leave the village where a lot of these villagers who I witnessed and saw, because the rebels were coming in, and he wouldn't leave. And the rebels ended up taking him to the bush, and he was with them for 6 weeks. And the rebels and some of these children, ex-children soldiers, were so affected by this priest's witness and his love for the people that one of the warlords was actually converted, which meant the whole of his tribe was converted. And that's where 90 of the ex-children soldiers live with Father Gary now. And just out of his witness, they were converted from that horror. And I just felt that it was an incredible witness to me of bravery, and also in the sign of all that evil, that there was still virtue and there was still light.
And do you have any idea what percentage of these former child soldiers have been successfully reintegrated into normal society and are leading normal lives?
I think the majority, there's a total disarmament of Liberia. So none of the ex-child soldiers have got guns now. So from that point of view, this took quite a long time. But the Monsignor, he said to me that the UN have been really instrumental in bringing that grace. And so that's partly the integration, because immediately you take away a gun, you take away their whole power. And I think a lot of the ex-child soldiers have been brought back to their villages and brought back to their homes. And some can't go back to their villages because of the atrocities that they were forced to commit. So they would be in places like Father Gary's. But I think it's a slow process, and I think it'll still be going on for maybe 5 years in the future. You know, each soldier has been brought back to that sort of realization that they can be a part of the community again.
Presumably there may be a very, very small minority, though, that are so badly traumatised that it seems almost impossible at this stage that they may ever lead a normal life again. Are there some people in that group?
Yeah, there was one boy I met who I would say he's probably about 20 now, and I would say he's incredibly traumatised. I think he's known to still have about 15 bullets in him, which are slowly being taken out with operations. But he seemed horrendously traumatised. And I spoke to him at some length, but it was very hard to get responses sometime from him. So I would say you're completely right that there are some who are very, very traumatized by the war. And it's only through, you know, maybe God's miracles that they're brought back to that understanding that they can be forgiven or be, you know, a part of community again.
When you said he was very, very traumatized, I mean, what sort of outward signs were there of this? Or was it just the fact that he was incredibly withdrawn?
Well, I think withdrawn is a good way of describing it. Also, that he wouldn't look at you in the eyes. He always looked at the floor when you spoke to him. He tended to shake quite a bit. And this is years after the trauma. And when Father Gary first brought this lad into his community, he said he was even worse, you know. So I think there is still a lot of healing needed with some of them. But there's also great hope that, you know, Liberia will become what it should be, because it is devastated. There's very few roads. There's no electricity. I think there's one road in Monrovia which has actual electricity. Everything else in Liberia is run from generators. So there is a real sense of poverty in Liberia at the moment.
Okay, well, to sum up, how would you describe the overall mood of the country, and how do people there see the future?
I would say that there's great hope. However, I think for peace to last, many people said to me that for peace to last, there has to be justice. And some of the people who have caused the great atrocities, the people who gave the orders, the people who coerced the youth, there has to be some prosecution. And I think that that will help to establish a real lasting peace. And the courageous people, the priests who are out there, like Father Gary, there's such great hope for Liberia, because there's these witnesses of light really rebuking that darkness that plagued the country for so many years.
I was speaking to John Pridmore, former gangster turned Catholic evangelizer and author.